And that's why God says he hid the truth of them. They received not the love of the truth. Therefore, God sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. We hear the truth and we don't love it. And we turn away our hearts from the truth and turn to lies. Because that's what we want to hear. And God does not prevent this. Because it is not his objective to just, you know, save as many people as he can. If that was his objective, I think he would have approached this whole thing a little differently, don't you? I certainly do. Why would he blind people to the truth if his objective was merely to just get as many people in as he can?
I mean, and that's the difference between free will and predestination. Predestination, the basis of really everything is love. We love the truth. That is the revelation of our destiny, where our heart is. You know, out of just a free will choice, who wouldn't say, yeah, I want to get saved, if they knew that was the truth? If they were really going to make a free choice, they would have to be well informed. You know, a choice where you're not given all the information, where you're led to believe that the truth is a lie, that's not much of a free will choice. Oh, I would have chosen that, but I thought it was a bunch of bunk. So,
the reason I'm saying all that is because there is a lot of departing from the faith. There is a lot of perverse doctrine, a lot of corruption. That's something I talk about a lot in my Bible studies, right? And therefore, it's easy to look around and just think everybody's a whore. Yeah, but you look at what we did in the churches. God called all those places, those seven churches, all of them he called churches. And Christ dealt with them as if they were churches. Even though they were extremely corrupt. You have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. To another one, you have left your first love. To another one, you are neither hot nor cold. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. So, because they seem to be churches, because they claim to be churches, he deals with them as such. Even now, I think that is the state we live in now, where these are, who can tell the difference? And God himself even treats all these corrupt churches on an even keel with two that he has nothing bad to say about. Because we live in a world of many churches. And the truth is that God lives in a world of one church. There's one Spirit, one baptism, one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How could there be many churches? It doesn't even make sense. Because the churches are these earthly institutions. And therefore, they are subject to earthly corruption. Now, the woman who rides the beast, who we're going to see later on when we get ahead of ourselves, but that's okay. I speak of the woman in chapter 17. The woman, she is the great whore. Because, and what is she? That is what all the churches who do not, their candlestick is removed out of their place. That's what God says. But the way they're going to be performing this, they're going to be abandoning the faith of Christ, of the true Christ, and putting their faith in a false Christ, which is the Antichrist, which is the devil, the serpent, the dragon, the beast, in whatever way he personifies that. But I expect it to be a highly supernatural personification to be the most convincing. Could it be lesser than that? Yeah, but I mean, it's always best to prepare for the worst. Then if something less comes along, well, you prepared for the worst. So it could be a relief. In any case, we know there's going to be someone, a great figure who comes to exalt himself above everything that is called God, so that he is, as God sits in the temple of God, making a show that he is God. As is written of the second beast, who is also called the false prophet, he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives people by means of those miracles. Well, when he deceives them, that is the great apostasy that has to come before Christ returns. The great apostasy, where they turn away from the faith and they worship the devil. They worship the dragon. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with them? So, they will turn from the worship of the true Christ to the false. And at that point, that is what Paul spoke of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he says, you know, and that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The son of perdition is tied directly to the falling away. The son of perdition, I take to be Satan, in whatever way he is personified, whether it is in angelic form. Satan himself appears disguised as an angel of light, as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, or 10, whatever. He appears disguised as an angel of light, therefore it is no great thing, because his ministers are disguised as ministers of righteousness. And they are disguised right now. And the churches are also, pretty much, though they are not right in their doctrine, you know, neither was I. You know, before God revealed the truth to me, I had a lot of things screwy, but I believed in Jesus, and God was dealing with me. And you see that in the churches. He deals with them. But there comes a point of where the apostasy goes from this sort of low level, we've got false doctrine, we've got sin, we've got these other problems, you know, but it's kind of like it could change. You know, the Spirit of God comes on people, they turn around, groups break up, they reform, whatever, but there's reformations, there's, you know, revivals and all that stuff. That stuff happens. But then there's a time that comes when that stuff becomes, it goes out of the picture, because they will take this Antichrist as their husband. That's why she says, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. She takes him as the bride of Christ is supposed to take Christ. The church is called the bride of Christ. Well, the great whore is the whore church. She sits a queen. She is no widow. The widow reference means because Christ has died. You know, and he rose again. Yes, he's gone. But, I mean, the thing is, to the world, it's like the church is a widow. Where's our husband? Where's your husband? He's been gone so long. You know, when Christ returns, he's supposed to take the church as his bride. There's all this bridal imagery. There's the marriage supper of the Lamb and so forth. Well, they're going to get off at the wrong marriage. So she stands there rejoicing. She who said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow. Because the false church will be exalted with the dragon. She rides upon the beast. And that's the whole reason I brought this, because she rides on the beast. She sits on the seven mountains. What those seven mountains represent.
I mean, there's a problem with really even trying to explain it, because it says the seven heads are seven mountains. That's the interpretation of the symbology.
I've heard our nations.
Yeah, you got symbols on top of symbols. But